Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for Fun with Melly. And I hope you just really love that passage. I'm telling you, that makes me so happy to hear that passage from Revelation 19. Today, we are going to be, though, going into Purim because it's coming up. It's coming up on the 2nd of March, the evening of the 2nd and going into the 3rd because it's evening and morning is the first, is the full day. And I just have a feeling we got a big Purim coming up. So we need to get ready and we need to really understand what the great news is about Purim because it's the end of our enemies. The book of Esther was really a roadmap, was telling us what was going to happen. It's that they would literally make an edict to destroy humanity and that we would defeat them. I mean, that's really Esther in a nutshell. And it's not just what they did way back in the Persian Empire. It's been happening now. So that's why it's so cool because here we are going to be celebrating this amazing Purim celebration. And I just have a feeling we got some great stuff going on, really great stuff this year because, we've seen a lot happening since Christmas. If you haven't seen my pinned post, please go and check it out because I believe that we're in an amazing prophecy period, specifically Daniel 12. Anyway, go look at my pinned post over on Melissa Redpill if you haven't seen it. So yeah, definitely go and go ahead and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, make sure that you are liking, you hit the like button and you share this and bookmark it because this timeline that we're going to talk about, that we've been talking about is biblical, what we're experiencing. It's very, very exciting. So I know. Yes, I'm so glad to see you guys over on the chat. I'm so glad you're here. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that your word is here to as a roadmap for us during these very strange times and that you've given us the eyes to see, you've tapped us on the shoulder, and you've awakened us to the truth of what's going on. Thank you for doing that for us and for your love for humanity, that you are rescuing us from our enemies and they'll be gone and we'll have peace on earth for 1,000 years in this golden age. Thank you that we're getting to witness this, that we're getting to watch this all play out, your eternal plan to rescue humanity. Thank you that we're on this earth for such a time as this. What a blessing and an honor. I just pray for everyone on the battalion that you just continue to strengthen them and bless us as we study your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, I love you so much. Let's get started. Okay, if you're new here, definitely check my website. Come on, little mouse. I don't know. We may just have to just talk about it because I don't know if my little mouse is going to cooperate. Let's go on. You can do it. He did it. Okay, so there's my website right there, melissaredpill.com, melissaredpill.com, and I'm going to move it over just a tad so that hopefully you can see it. How about that? I'm going to cover up my face. Okay, which way do I move? All right, there. We'll do it that way. Is that going to work? Yeah, my website is melissaredpill.com, and so I think you're really going to love all the resources over there. If you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out. I've got over 1,000 videos on lots of great things about biblical prophecy and that's being fulfilled in our day. And then this was number one that we did last week. I didn't mean for it to do that, but yeah. So if you look back on this one, Esther Purim study number one, Annihilation of the New World Order, you will see the first chapter and first and second chapter of the book of Esther. What we did last week was we talked about how Esther was chosen to be the queen after Queen Vashti was removed, and so about and how King Artaxerxes was a force to be reckoned with, and it was very dangerous to be the queen, and so Vashti found that out. There's a lot of alcohol going on, and so yeah, we found that the Lord raised her up into this position as the queen, and it's an amazing thing that He knew that. Of course, the Lord knows what's going to happen. He knows the end from the beginning, and He had this all planned out that she would be there and that she would be raised up into this position as the queen. And it really represents us, God's people, as the queen being raised into the position of authority with Christ. And this is even written in the stars. The Lord put the beautiful signs in the heavens, the beautiful constellations. And for example, Cassiopeia, which is in the northern sky, is the queen of heaven. That is, and she's ruling and reigning in the sky, in the north, and in this high, lofty position of authority. And that is us. We're finally at the stage in humanity where we are taking this position of authority, and that we will not be led around by the nose by these evildoers anymore. We've been children, as it says in in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now we've put away childish things. And in Ephesians, it also talks about that until we come to the mature man, humanity is growing up. We're taking this earth. We're taking authority in this earth, and that's what it says, that we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Again, if you haven't seen my books, definitely check them out. They're over on Amazon. They're also on Melissa Red Pill, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, this is the empire, the Persian Empire back in the day. Huge empire stretching all the way over to like India, as all the way to Egypt. And that was the known world at the time. And we talked about this last week. And so here is Susa, right here, the capital city, pretty much smack dab in the middle of this huge empire. And so King Artaxerxes ruled this place, and he was in this position of authority, and everybody knew that they better do what he said. So I wanted you to see, again, I just reviewed chapters 1 and 2, but let's start with chapter 3, and now the plot thickens. We're going to find out what is going to happen in this amazing account that we find in the book of Esther. And again, I've loved this book. I've learned so much from this book over time, and they've mostly about how to show respect to authority and that type of thing is really what it's been used for. I just don't think I focused so much on that this was being the enemy would truly have this plot against us to destroy humanity. But this is why Esther is in here, and now we realize that this New World Order criminal cabal, these hateful Hamans of our day, have done the very same thing, right? So, all right. So here is. Let's just get started on this one and this chapter, and so we'll talk about it as we go. So, sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, over all the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down before Haman. All right, so first thing, before we even get through the first paragraph, this is their whole deal. They expect us to bow down to them. They expect us to do whatever they say. And just like with COVID, you see what happens if you don't. They will come at you with everything they've got. Or like, Charlie Kirk, if you aren't willing to say what they want, then it's curtains. I mean, these people to this day are no different from hateful Haman. Now, there are a lot of different names in here. You may not be familiar with some of these people, but we've talked about Esther, whose name was Hadassah in her Israelite name. But then also you've got Mordecai, her cousin, and then you've got Haman, this new person that's coming on the scenes. You've got King Xerxes. Now, Haman, the way that I always taught the kids was I would say, hateful Haman. And that's the way it helps me, and it would help the kids to remember that he's the bad guy. And so in this, when they have the Purim stories for the children, a lot of times whenever that someone would say Haman, that people would start to go, boo. So you guys can do that if you want to play along. You can put it on the chat. Whenever I say Haman, you can go, boo, you know. And so everyone remember, this guy is bad news, and he represents actually the New World Order satanic criminal cabal. Okay, so I hope that really helps you to connect what's going on in the book of Esther. So, but he expects everyone to bow down to him. And we have found that, you know, what happens if you don't. But we will not bow down. And they do not like that one bit. Whenever we will not do what they say. You know, we're finding that out, you know, with what's going on right now. Here it is, the 31st of January, 2026. You know, we're saying these criminals have got to leave our country. They're illegally here. They have to go. And so, of course, they send out all these people to raise all kinds of mayhem in the streets. I mean, that's just another typical example. They don't just acquiesce and accept that if we won't follow their orders, they pull out all the stops. You know, so this is what happens is they were ordered to bow down to Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, for so the king had commanded. So they're in on this. So Xerxes and Haman, it's important to know this, they're besties. They're really good friends. So something's going to happen before the end of this book of Esther, that is going to make it, we're like, how did that close-knit connection between the two of them, how did that get broken? Which is shocking, right? So actually, in the book of Revelation, it also talks about that the Lord has put it into the heart of the beast to throw their minions under the bus. It doesn't say it exactly like that, but basically it says burn them with fire. So, you know, that is pretty amazing that they'll be broken up, but we'll get to that later on. But I want you to see how tight knit they are. And I'm going to show you in this chapter why I think that is. So the palace officials at the, back up. Mordecai refused to bow or show him respect. So I don't just think it was a personal thing. Now, I'm sure Mordecai knew how hateful Haman was. Boo. Everybody go boo, right? Yay, boo. Good job, Boots 7. So everybody knew how bad he was. He, I'm sure, had a reputation for his evil and all the evil things that he had done. But I think that more than anything, Mordecai's issue was, I'm not going to bow down to this person. He is a human being. I only bow down to the Lord. All right. And now my mouse. All right. So let me see if I can flip this off. Yeah. Sorry about that. And yeah, the mouse it's done. Okay. I don't know. I just switched out I just switched it out just the other day. It just literally switched it out. It's the bad guys getting into my mouse. All right. Nope. I just got new. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. So entertain yourselves while I go get another battery. Okay. Okay. So I'm sorry about that. I can't even do anything to get it to do. Okay. So I will be, I apologize, everybody. I'm stuck until I can get this mouse to cooperate. So bear with me real quick. I'm going to go and see if I can get this figured out. And in the meantime, maybe I can't even do that. I'll be right back. Sorry about that.
everyone. Hang on tight. I'm almost there.
Okay. All right. Now, it looks like it's working for the moment. I don't know. All right. I think it's working for the moment. Can you guys see me? Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you for always being so patient with me. I'm trying to be all professional and cool stuff and stuff, and it never happens. One day I will get to be all cool and everything's going to work great. All right. So hopefully this mouse is going to, it's not cooperating. It's not. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it if I can't get my mouse to cooperate. I guess I could just tell you the story if I can, and without having, it's not going to cooperate. Maybe it is. Okay, maybe it is now. I apologize, everyone. Okay, so yeah, so here's a picture of, I'm considering that as Haman right there, and everyone is bowing to hateful Haman. Okay, boo, right? So everyone is bowing down to him, and Mordecai refuses. He's not going to bow down. And it doesn't matter what the threats, it doesn't matter what they say, he just refuses to bow down. And that's you and that's me. You know, we're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to accept what you're doing to children. We're not going to accept what you're doing, you know, in the government. And we're just not going to accept it. And we will not bow down and obey you. And they don't like that. And so they know that the reason that we are so much, so hard-headed is because of our faith. And so this is the thing they can't abide. They expect us to treat them as if they are God. They don't expect to be, us to have to worship the true and living God. We believe in the true and living God, and we obey him, and we recognize that hateful Haman, boo, is just a human. And we're not going to bow down to him as if he were God. That's the issue. They want us to have absolute obedience to them. And so here he is. He's not happy because Mordecai will not bow down to him. All right. So he's all upset about it. And then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" And they spoke to him day after day, but he still refused to comply with the order. Doesn't that sound exactly like COVID? Like, but you'll lose your job if you don't get the jab, or you can't go for Thanksgiving if you don't get the jab, or you can't go on vacation if you don't get the jab, or just day after day after day after day after day, all the cajoling and your family members will hate you, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. That was a perfect example of the same type of thing that Mordecai was up against, and he was not going to bow down. He just refused to do it. And so this just got right under the skin of hateful Haman. And so they spoke to him about it. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. All right, so they're like, are you going to allow him to not bow down? I mean, it is in this picture. It's pretty amazing that you see everyone else is bowing, or if he's being paraded through the streets on his royal steed and everyone's bowing and Mordecai's just standing there. And because this is the problem. If you have one person who does not comply, then it gives everyone else the courage to not comply. Everyone else realizes, hey, this is ridiculous. What am I doing bowing down to this guy? Right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, you know, for example, we love President Trump, but we're not bowing. We're not bowing down. Can you imagine if we were all like bowing down to him? That would just be so, what's the word? It just revealing that he's higher than we are, and that we are just, you know, not that he's worthy and that we're not. So this is the thing that they can't abide, is even one person refusing to bow. So, and more, notice this, it says Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. He had already let that cat out of the bag. They already had found out that he was a Jew. And this is a bit of a problem, okay? Because, let me see if I can make this a little bit smaller. I think that's maybe why he told Esther, Hadassah, not to tell the king that she was a Jew, because he was catching some flack for this. And that it not only was bringing potential harm to him, consequences to him, but also to all of the people. He began to realize that it's not great that they know that I'm a Jew. And so maybe he told them, maybe they just saw, you know, his lifestyle and the things that he was doing, and he would worship and pray and whatever. Somehow or another, they figured it out. And, you know, they knew that he was a Jew. And so that's why he told her not to let on that she was a Jew. Now, someone would say, well, Mordecai is your cousin, so more than likely you are a Jew also. But they might think, oh, well, she might be a Jew in her lineage, but not in her practice, not in her lifestyle. Okay, so, and also, we're going to see that this is going to cause the people, all the Jews, a problem because of Mordecai being unwilling to bow. And they said, Haman is going to say, we're going to make sure that there's no chance of these types of people around here who have this uppity nature, what he would call an uppity nature, but who refuse to treat him as if he's God. Okay, so when verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow or show him respect, he was filled with rage. Okay, so I highlighted that in blue because that right there tells you this man is clearly not someone that should be bowed down to if he's someone who's filled with rage over such a thing as this. And I'm going to show you, I think right here I pulled up in Ephesians chapter 5, maybe a little farther down. Okay, here it is. It talks about the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. It also calls it sometimes human nature. And I really think flesh is a better terminology than human nature. I'm going to read this to you in Ephesians chapter 5. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, being led and guided by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh, the human desire for someone to bow down to us as God. This is a very important thing because this can raise up in any one of us that if someone doesn't do what we say, then we can, you know, have a fit. All right, so this is going to be filled with rage, that just like hateful Haman, boo, right? And so for the lust, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on in us. And so the question is, who's going to win out? Is it going to be the Spirit, or is it going to be the flesh? And so they're contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is what Haman was. He was filled with all those things. He was not led by the Spirit of God. He was led by this other spirit. And so he loved to feed that flesh. He loved for people to bow down to him. And he fed on that. And that led him down a very bad path. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's very important that we don't fall into that that trap that Haman was in. Boo! Hateful Haman was in. And end up being having some severe consequences. For example, in your home, with your friends, with your husband, your wife, it's very important that we don't have this fleshly attitude toward our husband or wife or friend or neighbor or whomever, because it will cause all kinds of problems. People end up, you know, with getting into this argument. Next thing you know, you've got, you know, World War III. You know, potentially trouble with the law and all of that. So when we are humble and respectful of another person and realizing that they have rights too and they have desires that we want to make sure that they're treated with respect too, then we don't end up having all of that mayhem, usually. Sometimes you run up against these hateful Hamans that will cause you some trouble. But most people are, you know, hopefully operating by the Spirit, and they will work along with others. So, but this is a lot. When you look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, this is all the fleshly attitudes that we are seeing produced in Haman. And we're going to see what he's going to end up doing here. He'll end up doing the murders, the drunkenness, the revelries. This is exactly what we're seeing. And it's not going to end well. We'll get there on that. So jealousies, outbursts of wrath, and all that. So he was filled with rage. So Lord, please help us to operate by the Spirit. And sometimes we have to be like Mordecai, where we stand our ground and say, no, I'm not going to bow, but we're not going to be filled with rage by the Spirit of God. Anyway, so hateful Haman had learned of Mordecai's nationality. So he decided it was not enough to lay hold of Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the entire empire of Xerxes. So, you know, he knows he's in tight with Xerxes, their best buds, and they work together, and he knows how to work King Xerxes. And he is going to find a way to not just get rid of Mordecai. This hatred is so severe, it is so demonic, it is so evil, it reaches to all of the Jews. Anyone who could potentially have this same attitude as hateful Haman. I'm sorry, as Mordecai. I said that wrong. As Mordecai. Anyone who would maybe be bowing, but not bowing in their hearts. And that really goes back to what they're doing with our social media and our AI, that they want to know, are we truly obeying and doing what they say from the heart? Are we really worshiping them? That's what it's boiling down to. And they knew that no one else was refusing to bow, but they wanted to get to, okay, but maybe in their hearts they're not bowing. I expect the heart to bow to me. See what I'm saying? This is hateful Haman was that filled with evil and that much led by the flesh, that he expected everyone to bow down to him from the heart. So it says here, he had learned, okay, so he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews, not just give them a good talking to, but literally to destroy them. Again, we are talking about the New World Order. These people have literally, sometimes we don't think about it this way, but this is the fact, they have put out an edict to kill us. And again, I go back to COVID. COVID was a perfect example of that. You know, sometimes, as Q told us, you can't just tell them, you have to show them. You can't just tell people, oh, they'll actually try to kill you. You have to show them. They literally did it. They put out this edict, you have to take this jab or this and that and the other will happen to you. We've seen firsthand that what they will do to try to destroy humanity. The amazing miracle is they were not able to do so, but they certainly tried, just like hateful Haman. Okay. Boo. All right. Now, so in the month of April, during the 12th year of King Xerxes' reign, lots were cast in Haman's presence. The lots were called Purim. You might be like, well, why do you call this Purim? Well, now you know. It's casting lots. Now, casting lots, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, is that like dice? And it's not really dice so much as, I mean, I don't know exactly how they did it, but it's kind of like drawing straws. And so, you know, there are different ways they could have done it. It doesn't so much matter. But, for example, casting lots was an ancient practice used in biblical times to determine God's will or to make important decisions, often involving random selection through objects like stones or sticks or marked pottery. Marked pottery, like a little, it could have been like a little dice, die, I think they call it a die, and where you've got numbers on each side. Either way, one way or the other, they would randomly throw this and or select it, and then you would be able to make this selection. And basically you're saying that this was not my decision, this was the gods, okay? This was, you know, if they would call them whatever their name for their god was, this was the god's decision. This was used in religious culture and in non-religious culture. Though it appeared to be chance, scripture portrays the outcome as divinely guided. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That's actually from Proverbs 16:33. And you'll see that lots were cast, for example, with Joshua casting lots to distribute the promised land amongst the tribes of Israel. The temple service assignments were just determined by lot, by pulling, drawing straws, so to speak. And the high priest cast lots to choose the goat for sacrifice and which one would be the scapegoat, remember? And so this was used a lot. Also, when Jonah was on that ship, the sailors cast the lots to identify who caused the storm, and the lot fell to Jonah. They said, it's you. You know, so they used this a lot. And also when they chose, you know, when Judas died, then they chose by casting lots who was going to be the replacement disciple. And that was when Matthias was chosen. So this is something that has been used throughout God's word. So that's how hateful Haman used the casting of the lots. And what he did was he was selecting what day he was going to have this edict out to kill all of the Jews. Now, he had not yet gone to the king about this, but he was bound and determined that this was going to happen, and so he wanted to be prepared when he went to talk to the king that he had already, this was already in the process, and we've already cast the lots for this, and we've already determined the date for this, and we're moving forward with it. I mean, he's pretty prideful about how he's going to do this. And I think that, you know, this is where they feel like they get a lot of their demonic power. They do all these things, you know, all their casting lots in their evil. All right. So I have a feeling that what it was is this was on, it says March 7th. They determined the best day in the month to take action. The day selected was March 7th, nearly a year later. So they were going to take, it was going to take a year to get the message out to all of the entire empire. You couldn't send a text. You couldn't send a, you know, put it on the TV, on the news. It was going to have to be it takes some time to get all the information to the people so that they could be ready to kill all the Jews. Can you imagine knowing about an edict for your destruction a year ahead of time? I mean, this hanging over your head for a year would be daunting, right? So I have a feeling that what they did was they threw a lot and said, is it going to be on a full moon or a new moon, or is it going to be on a on which day of the month? So they would throw different lots and maybe somehow the straws, there was 12 of them, and they picked that it was going to be March. Something like that. I'm thinking it was going to be like that, but that they had chosen, it was good, you know, it determined it was going to be on a full moon, and it was going to be in March, okay, in the springtime. So here we are coming up on the full moon in March, is what is coming up in 1 month. Actually, today is, I think, either tonight or tomorrow night is the full moon. So I'm kind of looking for something. I don't know if something's going to happen, but I'm watching for maybe a message about a moon. So if you say, guys, see something about a moon, make sure to send it to me, you know, maybe from President Trump or something, because I believe we have one more month before this happens. There's definitely one more month till Purim. So I feel like it's especially with everything that's been going on, I feel like we've got a lot of big things that are going to happen before then. So, and then that's in leading up to this big, big Purim that humanity's been waiting for. That's what I'm hoping for. Anyway, so that's where how they selected the date to be the full moon in March. Now, Haman then went to King Xerxes and said, there's a certain race. Notice, a race. He's bringing race into the thing. Of course, they know how, even back then, what a hot button race is. And so they bring race into everything. And that's what he's playing. He's playing the race card with King Xerxes. There's a certain race of people scattered throughout all the provinces of your empire, who keep themselves separate from everyone else. In other words, they don't bow down to me from their heart. They keep their heart separate. They keep their heart where it's where they bow to the Lord. He's not saying that, but I'm telling you that. He's saying, you know, they're scattered all around. They're everywhere, sprinkled all throughout your kingdom. This is your place to rule, and they aren't bowing down in the heart to you and me. So what are we going to do about it? Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king, which is not true. They were law-abiding, clearly. They were law-abiding, just like us. We're not breaking any laws. We just refuse to take your jab. And it's not a law for us to take this jab. Make it a law, then we'll talk about it. You know, so, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You do what we say. We say to take vaccines and give your child 72 vaccines. Anybody who does not, your name's going to be on the list. Same type of thing. You know, what do they call that? The credit score, your personal credit score there's a special name for it where they determine if you're someone who bows down or someone who does not. And so they're sprinkled and peppered throughout all the region. And we want to get to them and kill anyone who is not going to obey us from the heart. Anyway, so they said their laws are different. No, they're not. It's just they refuse to do something that's unlawful, or they refuse to bow down from the heart before these humans. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. Do you see how hateful Haman? Boo. How social credit score. Thank you, Lenny Lou. Yeah, that's it. Social credit score. This is exactly hateful Haman. Boo. This is exactly what he does. He has a social credit score. This is the original social credit score for all the people throughout time. Okay, throughout the Persian Empire. So he says here, it's not in the king's interest to let them live. You see how he's working the king. He knows how to work him. He knows how to work his pride, his flesh, like I was reading to you from Ephesians chapter 5. He knows how to make him think, oh, well, this is your kingdom, and you must get rid of these people who refuse to bow down to you and me, right? So the next verse in verse 9, it says, if it please the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed, and I will give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrators to be deposited in the royal treasury. All right, so 10,000 large sacks of silver. I looked this up, you guys. It says, okay, I want to show you the moon. I'll come back to that. Anyway, it's Purim is the full moon, March, starting the evening of the March 2nd, going through the March 3rd. This bag of silver is kind of like what he's talking about, a big bag, large bag of silver. And check this out. It was estimated to be $280 billion. This man is not just some, you know, random underling. This man is extremely wealthy. He thinks that he is, you know, high above all the riffraff. He expects, hey, don't you understand who I am? This kind of money, if it was $280 billion worth of silver, you know he had to have a trillion of his own that he was going to keep for himself. If he was willing to give up $280 billion in silver. Okay, so who is hateful Haman? It's obviously the New World Order, the bankers. And of course, we're seeing what's happening with the bankers, that they are going to be losing it all. Not only in this case with hateful Haman, he lost his money and he lost his life, and his whole family did. I'm getting ahead, but yeah, y'all know the story. You know what happened. And so this is this is what he's offering to the king. Why would he offer to the king such a thing? He is so filled with rage. He's so filled with hatred against Mordecai. He's willing to spend big money. Big money. And that's exactly what they've done. They've been willing to spend big money. We've seen that over the since President Trump came down the escalator. They've spent big money to try to destroy us and to stop us. And they're donating to this and donating to that Antifa and all these riots. They're donating to everything under the sun. They're donating to the Democrat Party. They're doing whatever they have to do to stop us. They're willing to spend big money. They're putting their money where their mouth is. 10,000 large sacks, $280 billion. And that's, again, he was so filled with pride thinking he was so much better than the riffraff who probably didn't have two nickels to rub together. He's thinking, you know, they must bow down to me because look how wealthy I am. Money don't make any difference as to who your value as a human being. Anyway, so he said this would be deposited in the royal treasury. Well, look at what the king said. Now, again, don't forget, the king is very prideful. Look what he says. The king agreed. Oh, but hateful Haman, boo. Hateful Haman knew that the king was, he loved money, and that he would agree to this, not just because he didn't have the hatred that Haman had for Mordecai, but he did love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say the money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so he loved this money, and Haman knew that he would be willing to agree to kill all these people. All these people will be destroyed if he was enticed with this money. So the king agreed, confirming his decision by removing his signet ring off of his finger and giving it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. He gave him his authority to do it. When they gave the authority to Fauci to produce this evil jab to kill all the people, that he had the authority, and then coming on the TV to tell everybody that they had to take it, and all the, you know, how many times did we listen to this man changing his tune on this and that and the other? So he was given this authority to kill humanity, and it's not just with the jab, it's with the weapons, it's with, I mean, a thousand different ways that different people have been given the authority to try to kill humanity. And so the king said, the money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit. So here you go. Haman now has the keys to do what he wanted to do. And he knew how to make this happen. He knew how to get to the king and to make his dream of murder come true. So I notice here, though, on this sentence here, the money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit. This is a kind of a Middle Eastern way. It looks like on the surface of it that, hey, you know, you don't have to give me the money. I don't need your money. I'm the king. I don't need your money. But he says here, the money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit. If you want to give me $280 billion, 10,000 bags of silver, it's yours to do with as you see fit. The thing is, he better cough up the money. He better cough it up. Haman, he's not going to keep those bags of silver. All right. So on April 17th, the king's secretaries were summoned and a decree was written exactly as Haman, dictated. Haman wrote these things down. He was the one who dictated it, not the king. It was sent to the king's highest officers, the governors of the respected provinces, and the nobles of each province in their own scripts and languages. The decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Let me tell you something. Nobody's writing something for me that I'm going to sign off on. I'm going to read it. I'm going to know what they're doing. So for the king to give him that free reign, that type of authority, it's really shocking. It shows that he, first of all, was so just so in love with this money that he was going to get. And he's also, I guess, trust the guy that they're in cahoots, that they are on the same page, that you know, that they are high and mighty and everyone else can just die and that's fine. This, again, is the New World Order. They are happy and fine with all of our suffering. They're fine with people writing an edict for 1,000 different things. I mean, I don't have to go through the litany of all the different things that they have done to harm humanity, and they're absolutely fine with it because they're all on the same page that we are the underlings and they are the ones in power, okay? So this story is exactly what we're up against. Dispatches were sent by swift messengers into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. So we're looking forward to this one day that they were having to, you know, this daunting day that they would have to be waiting for their sure demise. And this was on edict of the king. He is the king. And this is going to happen because you live in his kingdom and he's going to kill you. Such same thing as that we've been in the earth has been the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. And he's felt that he rules this world and everybody just must bow down to him. And if that means that we're going to start nuclear war or whatever, jabs or whatever they want to do, you are in this kingdom and that's what you have to do. The great news for us is that we've been translated out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what we're witnessing right now is finally his kingdom is coming and his will be done on earth. No more of this dark kingdom running the world. They will be gone and we will have the golden age of Christ's kingdom on earth. But they have sent this out to every one of them, young, old, children, everybody, like you saw in Gaza, wiped out. It's a miracle that they didn't kill them all. It really is. It really is. But it says here, they sent swift messengers. What's the hurry? It's a year. Now, it would take potentially months to get to some of these places, potentially. So they sent swift messengers. He was chomping at the bit to get going on this thing because of the extreme hatred that it was in his heart. A copy of the decree was issued as law in every province and proclaimed to all the people so that they would be ready to do their duty on the appointed day. It is your duty to kill all these people. Can you imagine? And this is what we're up against. This is who we're fighting. This is why it's taken this long for President Trump to destroy them instead. Because these people are in such high positions of power and they're so ruthless. And you know, how do you get this done? Especially when most people have no idea, you know, how evil these people are. They have no idea that we're really up against hateful Haman. At the king's command, the decree went out by swift messengers and it was also proclaimed in the fortress of Susa. Then the king and Haman sat down to drink. They sat down to drink. Let's have a drink. Like they're celebrating their evil. This is what they do in their secret meetings. They celebrate when they send out these edicts for our harm. When they send out edicts about how they're destroying our food or poisoning the water or poisoning the air or on and on and on it could go. Starting all these wars. Oh, let's have a party and let's have a drink to enjoy that we are the high and mighty, powerful ones, and the underlings will suffer. Isn't that evil? It's just so evil. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa fell into confusion. So awful when the evil reign, it is very, very awful. And I'm very, very thankful that we have our wonderful President Trump in power now. All right, so this is where all throughout the kingdom, you see that they would have to send these messages on swift messengers all throughout the kingdom. All right, so she was chosen. We're going to find out next week what happened when you know, because she didn't even know. She's the queen and she has no idea about this edict. This was all done before she even knew about it, before Esther even knew about it. So she was put in this position as the queen to work hard to find a way to rescue all of God's people. And we're going to find out how that happens. But this is much like us. You know, these edicts were put out against us before we were even born. We had, and many of us had no idea that these people were literally trying to destroy us. Most people took the jab thinking that it was for their good, right? Most people are, you know, especially, you know, wonderful Christian people were deceived into thinking that they were telling them the truth about all these different things. And now we realize they misled us. But we have been put in this position for such a time as this. We will be rescued. The Lord will show us the way to escape. And not just to cancel the edict. We're going to destroy them instead. That's what Purim is all about. That's why I'm excited about what's going on. I feel like this is the day. I believe that we're going to see some amazing things in March. We're already seeing lots of big things. So we'll watch and see. All right, what do you guys think? Love it. All right, so next week we're going to do chapter 4. Thank you, Lord, that my mouse just decided to work. So next week we're going to do chapter 4. So keep reading, and hopefully we'll have this entire thing done before we get to Purim. And we're going to watch and see what the Lord is going to do this Purim. I really do hope that this is the one we've been waiting for. You know, each of these festivals is looking forward as we celebrate. We're looking forward to the day when it will be fulfilled. And I'm hoping and praying that this is the one. So if you want to find out more about all the things that I'm talking about, if you're not familiar with this, here are my books on Melissa Red Pill over on Amazon. So check it out. I'll put the link. I think maybe Songbird's already put the link. I'll go ahead and put it just in case. But you know, this is about the golden age. This is about the truth about Revelation, not what we were told by the controllers who controlled the church. Actually, and just be prepared, in your church, they very likely will say, we need to have a meeting about not being anti-Semites. You know, just be prepared that's, they're using the church to be their propaganda arm, and that you basically have to bow down and do whatever they say. And even if there are those who've hijacked Israel and using it for evil, you have to bow down to them. Be prepared, because that's what happened in a dear friend of mine's church. Yeah, so these. Oh, and in the last chapter in this book right here, I tell the story of Esther and how this is biblical. So you might want to check that one out. It's in chapter 17. How about that? All right, so I think that's it. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you and thank you that you wrote this book for us and have given us a roadmap so we understand what's going on, and that we will defeat hateful Haman just like you helped Esther to do, and that we are your Esther. We are your queen that has been raised to this position for such a time as this. We are so thankful that you have chosen us for this moment. And we thank you that we are going to see the end of our enemies, the end of this, and then having these beautiful days ahead, this beautiful golden age ahead. We're so thankful that you have promised this in your word, and you've shown us in so many different ways. And thank you for this book of Esther. Lord, we're just really, really praying that this will be the Purim, the great Purim, where our enemies will be destroyed. Thank you, Lord, for this next month coming up. Lord, just give us the strength to continue to fight and to expose the evil. You say not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather to expose them. Help us to expose it and to be on your front lines and to continue to pray. And I just pray for everyone who is hearing this, that you'll strengthen them and help them to receive the truth. Lord, help everyone to awaken to the truth of what has really been going on, so they won't be deceived and brought to harm. And thank you, Lord. We just praise you that we're going to have the golden age, and you'll be the king. You will dwell with us, and that everyone will know you from the least to the greatest, and that we will have days that we can't even yet imagine. We praise you. In your great name we pray, Jesus, the King of the world. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I'm going to jet. I think we did great. I did 53 minutes. I'm proud of myself. So these are probably shorter chapters. So read chapter 4, and then I will see you next week on on Saturday at 10:30, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 for our regular Sunday morning show. Don't forget to go and check out all the great goodies I have over here. You can listen to the audiobooks of my other books if you want to make it real easy. And hopefully, since my voice is back, I can go ahead and start doing the audiobook for The Golden Age. Don't forget, our social media is all right here. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Make sure that you bookmark. Definitely follow me if you possibly can over on X. And here are all of our great information about how to take care of yourself to overcome all the attacks of the enemies. Just amazing health products that we have learned about, and I'm just so thankful to see people getting well right and left. Videos about what each of them is about. Also helping to take care of your little pups. Oh, and also don't forget to check out Q Patriot. My friend is saving. Their price went up for whatever they were using, and they're saving even like $1,500 a year because they've moved over to Q Patriot, and you also now have DVR. So check that out. And I guess that's it. Love you guys. I love you. I guess that's it, and I'm so glad to see you, and I will talk to you later.